So, Scotty, our next uncut version involves a dear friend of ours the name of Jeremy Yablonsky.
Nicknamed
Yabo.
Yep.
Or Yabs. And he recently returned to one of your reunion Steelhead games, and Yabo came with the Brett Burns beard, that full, huge beard, shaved head. And as I've referred to before, when you go into a locker room, you see this guy standing there, it's like he's this huge ball of incredible muscle. And he is one tough mofo.
Oh, he is.
And he can bench press a house.
Yeah, but Yabo is a throwback to the enforcer years, the tough guys. And he played that role very well. He's a kid that grew up in Saskatchewan, always said and proudly so, he loves to fight. It's just in his blood. And he was a Golden Glove boxer up in Canada. Of course, he was a very respected enforcer, had some stints in the NHL, played a lot in minor leagues, which is even tougher as an enforcer, believe it or not, to be in, because that's where all the enforcers congregate and where you battle to hopefully get to the NHL. And he dominated for many years in there.
And then when the Russians wanted to change the game a little bit, they saw some of our Bobby Probert's fight and Ty Domi's. They said, I wonder if we could find such a guy. And
that
they
sounded Nazi-like. But
that's, well, Nazi Russian, you get the idea. No, I'll try it this way. I wonder if we can find such a guy. How about that? That's a little different. Anyway, so the KHL, which is the Russian version of the NHL, brought him into their pastures, and he created quite the ruckus, didn't he?
Yeah, they tried to go 1970s Philadelphia Flyers on the league there. And like the NHL back in the day cracked down on them, they had to impose a few new rules, which one is proudly called
the Yablonsky rule.
I want a rule fucking named after me. How badass is that?
And what that means is he was such a fighter and so tough and so dominating, they threw his ass out of the league.
More or less. And in fact, one of the stories you're about to hear shortly happens to revolve around the aftermath of one of his episodes on the ice and how the KHL decided to handle it, but it's actually pretty humorous.
Our next guest on Tales from the Road happens to be a legend in the city of Boise. Jeremy Yablonsky comes out of Meadow Lakes, Saskatchewan, built like a brick shithouse, very honestly, one of the strongest, toughest guys that any of us have ever seen. Played pro hockey in the United States, played junior in Canada, and played in the KHL in Russia. What a storied career you've had. Also, mixed martial arts. And as I said, just a dear friend of all of ours, but one of the toughest guys that any of us have ever known. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'd like to point out I'm mostly known for my beauty more than my toughness that you seem to be headlining me with. But
he's like Ron Duguay a little bit. Remember Ronnie Duguay?
Yeah, Ronnie Duguay.
Flowing hair. Just toughest guy I've had my hands on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me get the hair out of my eyes, guys.
So anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit about your career growing up, Yabo, and give us a kind of a perspective on how your life has been.
Oh, you know, just growing up, obviously, Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, the little town up north who's actually produced a lot of NHL hockey guys for a little 4,500 town, believe it or not. Mostly guys like myself. A lot of meat up there, meat and potatoes. I guess you fight your way your whole life up there. It just turns into hockey after. Yeah. But it's been a good fun career. And, you know, minor hockey in Meadow Lake and moved on to junior hockey. I got to play in the Western Hockey League, which was great for the Edmonton Ice. And then we moved over to the Kootenay Ice, and we had some really good teams. That's when I think my last couple years of junior, I learned all about how to be a little more professional and what it was going to take to play pro hockey, because I was straight off the farm. I was a boxer growing up. So I was a little bit on the nut side, as, you know, probably my early career, even in junior, Scotty, you know, the guys I used to hang out with probably know that more. I'm not so much like that now, but I was pretty, you know, off the farm, wild man, just loved the game, loved to fight, loved to party. So that's kind of how it all went.
Perfect. That wraps up your life in a nutshell.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of a nutshell, yeah.
And an undefeated MMA fighter, I might add.
I know. I've seen him. I've seen the video. I happened to be in a studio once. Somebody was editing. He was a professional photographer editor who shot one of Yabo's cage fights. And this guy was like 380 pounds and towered over Yabo. He came out like just like a gorilla or like a grizzly bear and wrapped his arms around Yabo. Yabo couldn't figure out what to do, and, you know, we're like 30 seconds into this thing. I don't know how he's holding up. And finally, you know, after this guy's wrestling him, holding, all of a sudden Yabo gets his right hand loose and cocks this guy from downtown. And then the photographer had the presence of mind to go tight on the guy's eyes. The guy's eyes fold up in the back of his head and his thing's down, and down he went like a like a bag of shit.
That's what happens when you get knocked out.
Yabo reminds me of another, like a Joey Kosher. Like, if, for those that know hockey and hockey fighters, like everybody says, when you get hit by a Joey Kosher or a Yablonski, like before you can get like, ouch, it fucking hurts when you get
hit by
guy
those guys. That guy is a legend. Yeah. That guy is.
Well,
that
it's guy, a compliment then. I put you in the same category. Everybody says, I mean, you get hit by Yabo, you're in.
I mean, that's, I love to hear that, but at the same time, I've seen that guy smash helmets apart. Like, we all have seen it back in the day. It was unbelievable what he could do.
Yeah, what did they say? Probert would beat you up, Kosher would hurt you.
Yep, like, yep. It was... Probert could hold you out. I mean, that guy could go forever. You couldn't hurt him, and, you know, he still is the god of the fighting world because he is Probert. I mean, he is the man. He's done it all. But, yeah, Kosher, you watch his fights. Like, when he hits you, it doesn't take long. Like, guys are out cold or on their knees, and they don't know where they are. And he was, yeah.
They want no more part of this. No. Get me out of here.
Well, speaking of fights, you know, having been a fan watching the Steelheads for years, and every time that you'd get on the ice, you know, the crowd around would go, oh, here it goes. And they're expecting something big from Yabo. Very, very rarely disappointed. Talk about some epic fights that you experienced.
God, I've had a lot of epic fights, I guess, you know. Mostly, probably in the professional time, you know, the junior fights were good. You know, I've had a lot of good junior fights as well, but it's different in junior. You turn pro and, you know, you're with men all of a sudden, and then, you know, you try to be one of the top guys. So you kind of get in that realm, that handful of guys that are near the top, and that's when the good fights started. Just so happens to be, you know, one was like a tail relative of mine, my cousin almost, you know, John Rasty. We've just had epic fight after epic fight because I might as well, I think sometimes I'd rather just go and say I'll punch a rock instead of his head because it is like he is seriously has the best chin and like you can't cut him. I don't think I've seen him bleed. And I mean, we've had street fights together against people. I mean, he does not bleed.
He's a Ty Domi like.
Oh, man, he is. I mean,
Yobson, correct me if I'm wrong, but I swear on YouTube, I saw something that said top 10 fights of all time, like, and they were showing the pros, everything else, but it showed you and Morassi going.
Yeah, we had a one fight. It was amazing. I was in Binghamton, the Ottawa Senators farm team, and he was in Syracuse. I think they were, I'm not sure who they were with, maybe Columbus at the time. And we had a big rivalry with them. They're right down the road in New York. I mean, it was a lifelong rivalry with these teams, you know, even before I got there. And something happened. The period ended. It was like after the second period. The goalies had hit or something, and we're all trying to leave, you know, to get to our, you know, to the locker room. And then it kind of got crazy. And then all of a sudden, you know, Johnny come in. And he's like, "Let's just fight." I said, "All right, let's just fucking do it." So we took our shit off, and I still have the best picture I want to get a hold of from the guy. Being, it has a picture of both teams around center ice, full teams. It looks like it's a street fight,
right?
And they just let us go at it, and it was amazing. I mean, I forget they counted. They did that fight count, the punch count for that fight, and it was amazing. It was just left. And what I like about Johnny is he's like me. He's a real old-school fighter. If I'm going to throw rights, he's just going to grab on with his right and throw left. So it's toe-to-toe. It's basically, I'm going to fucking hit you, and I'm not going to go down, and vice versa. Yeah. You know, and we just went up to center ice and went at it. And, I mean, once again, I think out of the five or six fights we had just that one season, you know, I think I knocked Johnny down once. And, I think he kind of slipped more than even knock him down, to totally be honest. But that fight was good. I mean, I left with some lumps on my face, my head. Both my hands were absolutely just fucking destroyed. I went in the locker room. Like, "How's your hand?" I was like, "I need ice for both hands." I was like, I remember going out the next period trying to play a couple of shifts, and I was like having a hard time holding my stick.
Oh, my God.
You know, but, yeah, it was one epic fight. Wow.
Let me try and get into the mind of a fighter. You know, most people, you can really say this, if they said, "Hey, buddy, this guy wants to fight you. The other guy pisses his pants with fear." You're fearless. What's in the mind?
I think just because I love it. It's not, you know, it is. You know, and I grew up boxing, and the best thing I ever learned was from Jim Kirby. He used to train Lennox Lewis at one time before he won the Canadian World Championship, or Canadian Olympics, or for the Olympics, anyways, for Team Canada. But, and all the boxing, you know, and I really learned just how to take a punch and be in a fight and be calm. He's like, "You just got to stay calm." And during those years and just into junior, I never really would freak out in a fight I could be intense, and trust me, as everybody knows, I can lose my fucking shit. But when it comes down to the fight, there's a calming to it.
Yeah,
I'm an intense fighter, but my mind is real calm, and I love to be in that whole realm and that feeling, because it's this part I feel comfortable in. And you know, not to say that I come out on top all the time. You know, I've taken my licks over the years. You know, everybody's going to lose a fight, but I mean, I love being in that realm. And even when you win a fight, sometimes I'm going to get stitches or I'm going to get my nose straightened out. You know, and that's when you win a fight. So. I mean, you know, that's the part I love. You know, I love to just be there in a war sort of thing.
And there is a mutual respect amongst, I mean, the fighters of each team. I mean, you guys, it's commonplace to grab a beer after the game. I mean, someone you just went toe-to-toe with for 30, 40 seconds.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, one of my best friends in the world, Trevor Gillies.
Yeah.
People look at us and they think, like, I still remember, we played in Peoria together. I was, 21 then. And we were there for about a month together, and we just became like brothers. We both got called up to the American League, both side NHL deals. And then I remember I was in Worcester, St. Louis's farm team, and he was just down the road in Albany, I think, at that time. And the first time we played against each other, we had three fights. And I remember after the second fight, and all the fights were amazing. And after the second fight, it was a long fight, and it was good. And we were actually hanging over my bench. And we were both hanging over the bench and just trying to crack each other. And then we finally got tired out. We were skating to the penalty box. We kind of give a high five to each other. And we just hear the crowd go crazy.
Yep.
And then I remember going to the locker room. Terry Virtue's in there, his old guy on our team. And he looked at me, he goes, Yabs? He goes, you and your buddy are fucking crazy. He was like, but that's awesome. He was like, and they just couldn't believe it, you know. And then we went out in the third round, and it wasn't even, it's your job. You know when to do it. And some crazy shit that went on in the third round. And actually, it's probably Terry Virtue. He's a fucking stick guys in the face. I mean, he did a lot of fighting. He did dirty fuck, you know, that's just him. And I love the way he played. He had started something. Next thing you know, me and Giller's in the ice. So we had another fight, you know. But it was just one of those things. Yeah, and then, I mean, people it's been a few times. I mean, we're after the game, we're hugging. We're like really, we're best men in each other's wedding. I mean, it's just, people are like, how do you do it? And it's like, because it's your job, you love your job. I mean, you can't avoid the other guy on the ice because all that guy's my buddy. I mean, you're loyal to your jersey in the game. That's the way it is. Your brothers have your jersey on. He is just happens to be that guy. I'm my guy for my team, and you just get the shit done. And after, I mean, we laugh about it, hugging. He's hugging my dad. Was at the one of the games we had a big fight in, and people are like, what the hell's going on? Like, didn't these guys just beat their shit out of each other? You know, some people can't comprehend.
There's nothing personal about it. There's nothing.
It's not. Not with some guys it is.
Yeah.
But I find the real tough guys, say like a Gillies, a McIntyre, Morasty, the top guys that know the job well and are the best, they have that respect. You could see them outside of hockey mostly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even McIntyre. I was coaching last year in Ontario, and he was with Utah, you know, and it was just like, hey, we meet in the hallway, and it was just, you know, so great to talk to each other. I mean, but then you got the guys you don't like that are just assholes, you know.
Right.
It's like Frankie Lassard. I'd fucking beat him up on the street if I see him just because he's a fucking loser.
Fuck you, Frankie.
I hope you're listening to this. Yeah, yeah.
I'd
probably hit him with my car, get out, and I would punch him when he's down.
Hey, but as we all know, the European game, certainly the Russian game, when they came over and played against the United States, they seemed to be scratching their heads when the likes of Bobby Clarke went after them. Remember that and all that sort of thing. Well, here you are playing and a legend in the States and Canada for your prowess as a fighter. And somehow, some way, the people in Russia find out and say, hey, we could use this guy's talents. Talk about that.
Well, we got there is one team in Russia that loves – you know, Canadian hockey, I'll just put it that way. He loves the guy that runs the team, and he loves the toughness. He loves not only the fighting, but the hitting, the physical part of the game. And so, you know, I got the call to go over there, and it was an amazing experience. And I got to do, you know, over there, some very crazy stuff, obviously, because we had certain people that would do something on the ice, and they're just not used to being reprimanded for it. They can just hit somebody, and nothing happens. Well, I get the tap to go on the ice, and Nazarov's our coach, and he was an old-time tough guy, the first Russian heavyweight in the NHL, who's a very big man. But let's go out there, so I knew what I was there to do, you know, and people just thought it was nuts, and they didn't want to fight, but, you know, some guys didn't want to fight. Some guys would try to fight, but then you get the guys that didn't want to fight, and they're like, no fight, no fight, and I'm like, sorry, buddy. Like,
you're in one.
I'm like, you're going, whether you like it or not. I mean, actually... I got sent out after one guy one time, and he was like, no fighting, no fighting. I'm like, we're fighting. And we had another guy on my team, Nick Tarnaski, and he went after a guy. So obviously the play stopped. So this guy tried to skate away from me, so I was obviously chasing him around. And I couldn't quite catch him at first, so the refs came in, and he's in the corner of our – and this was our rink in Vitez, and he's tapping on the – because you don't go out through the benches in our rink. You have to go out in the corner. And he's tapping on the fucking glass where they walk in out to let him out. And there's a guy just standing there just, like, looking at him like it was nothing. And so I was fucking – ran after him again. I got away from the refs, you know, and it's just embarrassing how they can't stand up for themselves. Some of the guys, you know. They got a few guys over there, a few Russian guys that will fight. They got, you know, Svitov and Martuk and, you know, some big guys. But other than that, it was really a scary place for them to be. We actually had teams call into the league and say that we forfeit. Vitez can have the win. And the league is like, nope, you have to play. So right then, our coach is like, oh, now you're going to fucking get it. Like, and, you know, it was like, so that was even awesome. It's like, oh, these guys are going down. Like, it was awesome. So
Yob's like, can we make a reference almost like the Broad Street Bullies back in the day when they came in? And, you know, obviously it was tough
Dave
back
Schultz.
Then. But you all of a sudden, Philadelphia gets Dave Schultz, Selesky, all these tough guys. And because the KHL was known as more of a finesse league. And then all of a sudden you're over there. And I think you hooked up with your cousin, Marasti.
Yep, yeah, Marasti come over. Yeah, we were
so
there together.
All of a sudden you got four or five just massive tough guys in any league playing in this finesse league. And basically just kind of took over that league.
We did. We had the most attendance on the way teams ever in the KHL. We sold out every rink we went to on the road because people either hated us so much and wanted to boo us, or we actually had away teams that just, like, loved us. And it was a really weird thing. You know, it depends, I guess, you know, maybe sure. Demographically. I don't know why. But then, yeah, the league really come down as hard. You know, the first year I didn't get to play a lot of games because I was getting a two-game suspension, then a six-game suspension, then I'm getting fucking 12-game suspensions, you know, after doing all this crazy shit. But I can understand a little bit because our guys were a little crazy. It wasn't, I'm going to go out and grab one guy. It would be me and then the next guy and then two guys the next time, and it was just fucking mayhem. You know, it was a little overboard we did. But
is it Pulp Fiction that they made a Yablonski rule in,
well,
in
that,
the KHL?
That is, you know, as crazy it is, one of my pride and joys that I left in the hockey world. I have my mark in hockey. They do have a legit rule in the KHL, the Yablonski rule. So now it's, and that happened after I got, the first year I was there, I got exiled from Russia. I could never play in the KHL again. I had a contract for another 2 years, and I'm like, this sucks. And, like, they had kicked me out of the league, like, you can never play here again. I was like, well, this sucks. You know, so my owner said, go home. It was Christmas time, a little before Christmas. He goes, we'll figure out this. And then a month later, he's like, you're reinstated. You know, and so I was like, okay. And what happened was I had chased a guy around that had previously played for our team. And he had said, what I got was he had said some bad things about our team in the media. And they're like, this guy is going to, you know, learn his lesson. So I hit him with a left, and I suppose I gave him brain damage. And then the league.
Allegedly.
You know, thank brain you. Damage. So, and then it wasn't just the fact that that happened, but it was kind of a turning point where the league was like, listen, like, we have to stop this. Like, these guys are nuts. They're, like, killing people. They're, like, you know. It was like, he's gone forever, you know. So thank God Alexei Zhamlov was our general manager. Great man. You know, very
NHL legend.
Yeah, NHL legend. I mean, he's very in deep with all of hockey in Russia. I mean, you know, he's a smart man. He knew we were a little crazy, but he worked it out that I got a second chance. And I'll never forget when I went back to Russia. I remember Jamie's like, you know, we're going to go in this meeting right to the big center down in Moscow, their big KHL headquarters, which was absolutely phenomenal, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he's like, we're going to have a meeting. He goes, we got, you know, the president there of the league and the head refs and stuff. And he goes, I'm going to give you a lot of shit because I have to. And he goes, you're just going to take it and understand, explain your side, you know. So we went in and there was all the head refs and everything, so I'm just ready for, you know, everything. And so I explained myself. This is the way I played hockey growing up. You know, it's a little different. You know, I'm trying to get to learn the Russian way a little more and find that balance. And so, you know, Jam's yelling at me a little bit, and you got to understand this and all this. And so everything went well. So I was like, okay, fine, you know. And then so Jam comes over. He goes, oh, and then before that, as he was coming over to me around this big table, there's media coming in. like five cameras, and I'm just like, oh, wow. I understand because our team was so watched. So I'm thinking they're going to maybe have an interview. He goes, well, the president wants to arm wrestle you. And I'm thinking, like, what the fuck do you mean he wants to arm wrestle?
The president,
like,
of what?
The KHL.
Okay.
I'm like, well, and just for the listeners.
Not Putin here.
The KHL is the NHL of the Russian league. This is the top league. This is big time.
Over here, we know the Russian players, the Malkins, the Ovechkins, and those guys. Those guys exist in the KHL. It's equal, if not better. Yeah.
I was so surprised going over there. I couldn't believe how good the hockey was. It opened my eyes even more than what I thought it originally first was. You know, you hear it's good. Oh, they're trying. And I was very surprised, the skill level. But anyways, back to
the arm wrestling.
So this guy's a shorter guy, and he is pretty stocky. And Jam goes, oh, he's a pretty strong guy. He used to be like a big sports guy. I'm thinking, oh, fuck. You know, here he goes. He's taking off his suit jacket. So the media's
camera,
here.
Camera. Going.
So he's sitting down. He rolled up his dress shirt, and he, you know, gets down. I'm like, okay. I was like, so what do I do? Do I try and beat this guy? I'm like, or do I let him beat me? I'm thinking.
You're trying to get
shit.
Back in the league.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. So I'm like, all right. So we hooked up, and he's like looking me dead in the eye, you know, the Russian face. And he is serious because I could feel his grip. And I was like, you know, giving a little pull, and he's just right on. He's got pretty big forearms.
He's tight.
So I'm thinking, okay, here we go. So go. And I was like, well, I'm going to pull hard and pretend I'm pulling, but see what he's got. So he was really trying, but I could hold him at the top. And then I slowly just kind of had enough power to, you know, push him over. And he gets up and he lost. And he kind of gives me the Russian hug. And I'm just like, what the fuck just happened here? Here I'm getting shit about, you know, all I'm doing. Next thing I'm arm wrestling. And then he's like, okay. John's like, these people want to take you around. So they have these ladies in this office. They're taking me around the whole office. It's this huge building. They're going to all these different departments. I'm going to, like, their TV, their media. And I went down to the one room, and it's a huge, probably like a 6x4 picture of me on the wall. And I actually have this picture at home. I got the picture of it, and it's me, and I run this guy in the corner. I was full speed on the forecheck, and he seen me at the last second and ducked. And I got it right in the hip, and I'm actually upside down.
Oh, I've seen this picture.
Yeah, I think you've seen it. I've showed a couple of the guys. And I'm in the air, like, upside down. And it's this huge, like, basically a poster on the wall. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So the guy took off the glass and had me sign it. And then it was amazing. So I left there. I'm leaving there. They give me, like, I had two or three bags of, like, KHL, like, sweaters and shirts. And I'm thinking, like, leaving this place, I'm like, what just happened here? Like,
you went to get reprimanded, and you left a hero, essentially.
I'm like, I'm getting back in the league, and I thought, I'm leaving with all these bags of, like, gifts, and I'm like, like, what the hell just happened here? Hey, I was good. I was good with everything, but I was, like, a little surprised.
For our listeners, we'll put on our website, talesfromtheroadpodcast.com, some of these YouTube videos of the fights and some of these pictures, and just so you guys can get a flavor of the whole story here.
Scotty, I feel like you just scooped me. Great minds think alike, because I was just going to say the exact same thing. Good job on you. Beating me to the punch.
I'm quick.
Yabo, by the way, for those of you who don't know, we, all four of us, in the cheap seats here, have the opportunity and the honor and the pleasure to skate with Jeremy from time to time. I'm just around Boise and playing men's hockey. And just to let you folks know, it isn't all about fighting. He's a great skater and a terrific hockey player on top of it. Just to let you know that a guy that's a tough guy can also, like Kosher, he wasn't a bad hockey player.
Yeah, everybody's got their place. You know, obviously I was a fourth line guy. I loved my role. I've never wanted to be in a different kind of line. That's my, you know, my skill set. I'm not a big sniper. You know, I can skate great in straight lines, in a sense, you know, and just the physical part of the game, you know, that's kind of kept me, you know, close to the NHL and, you know, for all the later years where the tough guys kind of started dying out because I could fill that role. I could get around on the ice. I was good defensively, and that allowed me to stay there and then obviously do the fighting on top of it. So,
Yep.
Learned a toe drag in the KHL.
Tremendous toe drag.
Yeah, I tried a few times.
Dangling.
It wasn't great.
For those that, you know, maybe think that aren't used to hockey and think this is barbaric, I can speak. I wasn't, none of us here other than Yablonski were anywhere near what we call a fighter in this league. But thank God for those guys, because I played in leagues where there was no fighting, if you will, like college, for example. You get kicked out of the game you're in plus the next one. And those were the most dangerous, ask anybody, the most dangerous leagues you'll ever, because there was no longer this self-policing aspect where the most dangerous thing of all any hockey is going to be the hockey stick. That's truly a weapon. You could stick a guy in the face, you slash a guy in the back of legs, whatever. And in college, where they're, you know, you get kicked out of the game you're in, plus the next one, no one fought. And guess what? All these guys were just
hacking,
skewering, doing a barbecue on guys, you know, and guys were going out broken legs, lacerations of the face constantly. And because there was no repercussions of a guy like Jeremy on the other bench going, okay, if I do this, I'm going to get my ass whipped. Yep.
That's exactly it. Now all the and plus what I think is even worse than what you're saying is all the blindside hits they do now. How many are out there now with people getting concussions? It was never the fighting that got it.
Right.
It was never the fighting that gave everybody the concussions the way they wanted to perceive this to the media and the people took it. It was not. It's all the dirty hits. It is.
It's
and the guy actually brought out all the statistics of the guy's concussions from the dirty hits. So it's like 10 times fold what fighting was.
So it seems like this is barbaric and, oh, my God, crazy story. But that makes hockey, believe it or not, safer. And, of course, the fans enjoy it. I mean, I can test that.
So, obviously, a little change of tune in NHL just recently. You know, some coaches come up and talked about that. What is your take on that and the role of a fighter?
You know, I think, you know, I try and listen to as much as I can. Of, you know, the coaches talking, and you get the odd guy will say, or even the older general managers around the league say, no, they love the fighting. They want it there. And, you know, it's hard because there's such a push with the NHL, with the league itself saying we don't want that. But then you see the last couple of years, there's a lot of more dirty things happening. They're trying to crack down on these dirty hits, which Shanahan does and stuff, and he's just a fucking puppet, basically. It's just a joke. How he played the game for all the years, respectable, and now, you know, just horrible. But I just wish they would keep it in the game. You know, I hope they keep. There's a few guys still around. A few teams, you know, have their guys to take care of that stuff. And I think it's a good thing. I just, you know, I hope it never really disappears. You know, you kind of see things go in cycles. There was a few years back, they tried to get it out. Then all of a sudden, the Anaheim, they had won the Stanley Cup that year, and they were full of fighters and tough guys, and they just play this tough hockey. And then next year, you've seen all these guys draft picks, these tough guys, and guys are signing tough guys. So I hope that kind of happens again. I don't think it'll ever be as crazy as it once was. And I don't mean crazy like it was barbaric like you were talking, but it never was. But I think there should be a good balance there where it's always part of the game. I mean, people love fights. They love goals. They love hits. I mean, that's the action. I mean, how many people love seeing a guy get run dirty hit through the boards? You know, nobody's up cheering and freaking out in the crowd with in front of 20,000 people.
Right.
When a fight starts or a goal or a good hit, I mean, that's when everybody's cheering. I mean, that's hockey.
Hey, simple little country boy, little farm boy from Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, population 15. How did you make it in Russia? Tell me about that experience. Just forget the hockey side of it, but God, you get off a plane, here I am in Russia. I don't speak any Russian. What was that like?
It was a very unique feeling because, you know, you're not sure, you know, what your perception is of Russia and going there. But I literally could feel Russia when I got off the plane. It was amazing. I tell people that I go there, like when I really left the plane, you get out of the airport, you're just like, wow. It was a whole different world. But I'm a very laid-back guy, so to speak. I love the game. I always do it. You know, I can do whatever I have to be a part of it. So it worked out good. You know, I had a great organization. The ownership was amazing. They always kind of took me under their wing, which was great. But it was really good. I mean, you hear some horror stories over there, and all the horror stories come with what I've seen are a bunch of pussies that go over there, these goal scorers, and they're like fucking prima donnas, and then they come back, oh, it's fucking Russian and all this crap, and all, you know, and it's not, because I've seen it. And I know the guys that tell the stories, and I know the truth behind them, and there's very rarely a real story you'll hear out of there that's bad, because that's real anyways, because it's really not that bad. Do you have to change the way you practice and play? Yes, you do, because they have their ways, and you can't go over there thinking I'm going to do this, you know, because you have to kind of be open to what they're doing. You went to their fucking country. You can have to be open to what they want as well. Thank God I was on a team that loved the toughness, but, you know, it was a good place. I liked it, and it's a little crazy over there, Russia as a whole, but it's an amazing place, and some of the people are amazing.
Yeah, so you felt that your teammates wrapped their arms around you and you were buds? And
amazing. I mean, you know, the first day you go around, meet everybody, and only a couple guys could speak English besides us North Americans. There was five of us. And it was awesome. They just accepted us everywhere. There was never any, like, anybody felt like they were trying to, like, undermine you or make you feel bad. It was great. And mind you, we're all a bunch of tough guys. Who's going to say anything? But at the same time, you could really see, like, the you know, it was they're honest guys. Like, they, you know, they weren't scared to joke around with us. We had a lot of fun. It was good.
Okay. So, the amount of years you played hockey and the place you play, you've come across some crazy ass characters. I mean, some people we know mutually, some you played on your own. Who would you say is some of the, what you've had a couple of good stories with? Is there one guy or, you know, a story that you just say, holy fuck, this is the craziest hockey tale on the road that I can think of?
Yeah, I got a couple guys, you know, over the years you always pass, you know, through. And one was actually here in Boise. I mean, you know, my first year here, is, you know, I was like 20 years old. And Terry Ryan, you know, still a great buddy. And he is a great guy. You know, he's honest. He'll just say it how it is, but he's a fucking nut job at the same time. And that's part why everybody loves him. You know, he is who he is. But we played. That's when San Diego was back in the league. And this was the West Coast Hockey League then. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the East Coast. And we go down to San Diego.
The Gulls?
Yes, the Gulls. We go down to San Diego. And we had like a weird schedule. I even forget if it was like a, it wasn't even like a Wednesday game. It was like a Monday. And then, like, Friday, Saturday, J.O. is our coach, obviously, and he's like, well, we're just going to stay there, practice. Played, like, Monday. He's like, we're going to have 2 days off. Okay. You know,
San
no problem.
Diego, great.
San Diego, great. So Terry's like, hey, he goes, I got an idea. He goes, let's go to the Tijuana. I'm like, I'm young. I'm like, yeah, let's fucking go to Tijuana.
What could go wrong?
Yeah. And so we got me and my buddy Scott Burt, who is obviously one of the biggest legends in this town ever. Chris Graff, who's just another beauty.
Graffer,
whoever knows
beauty.
Graffer, I mean, he is an amazing guy and a loose cannon and a partier, you know, away from the ice. So we head down to Tijuana. We catch the first bus like 11 a.m. So what you do is you cross the border. My dad was there with me. That's the thing. My parents go down to Lake Havasu in the winter, so they actually came down to watch the games. So my dad's like, well, I'll drive you guys. You know, I'll stick with you. So he drove us down to the border, across the border. You get on this bus, and it takes you down to the strip, they call it, like the Vegas Strip of Tijuana.
What kind of people are on the bus besides you guys?
Well, you know, there were some random people that went, like just, you know, looked like, I didn't, older people too, and I can understand maybe they didn't want to party, but there was a lot of party people, it looked like, you know, so, and I remember getting off, he's like, you know, this is the strip. Here's the limits of the strip. They're like, you know, please try and stay within the boundaries. So we're like, okay.
Your life's in peril.
We're like, well, we'll do whatever the fuck we want, you know. Basically, all of us. Terry's like, oh, yeah, okay. He's like, you know. And so my dad's just, my dad loves to drink beer. You know, he's having a good time with us. So we get there. The first thing we go off, I'll never forget this, because you got to walk to this little market. And then you get to the big strip, their street, their strip, they call it. And there's literally a fucking zebra there. It's a donkey painted like, and it's so blatantly like bad. Like, it's like, I wasn't sure if the guy was like serious. If it's a joke thing to pay $2 to get a picture with this thing. Like, I still don't know to this day. It was a fucking donkey. Just like with a paintbrush, somebody painted like white strip and a black strip. So I'm thinking like, is this fucking for real? And the guy's like, only zebra in Mexico. He's like, picture, picture. And I'm like, okay, is this to be funny? So when I go home, I show my friends, like, hey, look at this funny picture. Or it's like, hey, this is a zebra I got a picture with, you know?
I still have a zebra in Mexico. Yeah, so, you should see this thing.
But it was so bad. And I mean, I think we all got pictures, but fuck, we lost them. I know that because we didn't come back with anything except Graffer's pink ceramic pig. I know that. So we went all day. And all I remember is we were trying to get the best deal on beer and tequila. And this one spot we ended up kept going back to, it was $10. For 10 Coronas and 10 shots of tequila was their deal. And so we did that there, you know, for as long as could be. And then so then we wanted to, like, explore a little bit, you know.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, exactly. Who
go
wouldn't?
Go outside the lines.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a couple of guys there that were, you know, a little on the side of let's get a little crazy and maybe, you know, do something other than just drink, which was fine, you know. I didn't really get too involved in it because that was really never my thing. But it was funny taking a cab with all of us in one little cab. And you can drink there. And so we got in this cab and piled in with beer, about all fucking cases of beer. We're driving around fucking Tijuana in this cab, drinking beer, hammered. One guy's looking for fucking drugs. And so we stop at some place. We get out and, you know, we're doing something. We're standing outside the cab. We're hammered. You know, we're drinking these beers. And the cab, he's like, okay. He goes, we have to go. He's like, we can't stay here much longer. We're like, what the fuck do you mean? He's like, you need to get in the cab. Because we're not in the strip anymore. I don't know where we are. Mm-hmm. You know, anyways, we get our stuff and we're like back to the strip. But I can't imagine, you know, just what was going on around us, you know.
Oh, he's to probably alarm, he's someone like, in the know.
And
is
he's
alarmed.
Like, you guys got to get out of here before something happens, right. You know. So
well,
anyways.
This was pre where the notoriety of the drug cartels, but I'm sure they were going on at the time.
Oh, yeah, for right. sure. Definitely.
Not quite the headlines, definitely. But still present.
Yeah. Anyways, we make it back to the strip, and I remember we stayed there all day. And I think 1 a.m. was the last shuttle that takes you from the strip and the little shopping place back to the border. And this guy was, like, telling us to leave. And we're like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, we're just here to party. And he's like, if you don't leave now, he's like, you don't go back until the morning. You know, so finally we're like, thank God we made it. You know, literally the last bus in this whole thing, like, there's, like, 10 buses. And it's the one waiting there, you know. And we make it back, you know, the bus, thank God, and make it back to San Diego. And then that morning, we had practice the next day. That was our second day off, so we had practice. And I'll never forget it. As we party at the hotel after, and I don't think anybody went to bed. And I remember we had some practice rink, and I just couldn't even think. I couldn't even see. And all I was trying to do was keep my feet under me, you know. And coach is like, you know, get going. Like, you know, I don't know what he was doing. He was all golfing. But, you know, we're all trying to keep straight. And I'm sure we all just reeked. Right. You know, and just because we went to Tijuana, I'm sure all the other guys there did their own partying too. So it was a tough little day of practice.
It's funny those practices. Everybody that played hockey has been in those practices, maybe any sport. And it's funny how there's like a force field around the coach that you know do not get around the coach because he's going to smell you. He's going to smell. You're going to smell like whatever the fuck you drank last night, and you know. You just do not breathe on the coach.
Everybody puts on Vicks, so he's like, oh, all of a sudden there's five guys that are sick and have sore throats today. Right away, it's like, honestly, well, you know, five guys just did randomly get sick last night. You know, I'm just sore throat, coach. Like, also, all I can smell is Vicks.
Something going around tequila. The locker room.
Yeah.
That's when the coach takes the pucks off the ice, and if people aren't, they get what's called a bag skate, which basically is a no pucks. That means you're skating until you're puking, and that's the goal of the coach.
Those are not fun.
No. That's what we got in college. One fucking guy gets is you know his breath is full of booze and we're fucking stops and starts. Rest of the fucking
Ryan McGill, our coach in Edmonton Ice and then the Kootenay Ice, he would do that. One time we had a party. It was like a New Year's party. Nope, we asked him, you guys can't have a party. Okay, so we decided to have a party anyways. Went up the road to this old shitty rink. We skated for like 2 hours. I mean, literally, guys would like not just puking, but guys were like falling down. Like falling down, like skating, like wallies, like end to end, like collapsing.
Like guys near death could not experiences.
Go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was just nuts.
Tijuana sounds like Manitoba a little bit. Hey?
There's some big similarities.
They should have a flag.
I went to a zoo there once. Hey, come see the stripeless zebra. It kind of looks like a horse, Dad.
Only zebra in Manitoba.
Extremely large midgets. What?
just to explain a little bit of the underplay here, Eddie is from Saskatchewan, and Yabo's from Saskatchewan, and
that's why poor, I can get away with that today.
And poor little Scotty's a Winnipeg boy.
Fucking poor little Scotty. Yeah. We're holding our own over here.
It's always been that way, you know, because we just always kind of rule the roost when it comes to the Battle of the Provinces. I mean, at the end of the day, they can maybe talk a little smack here and there, but at the end of the day, even as the province-wise, people know, like, Saskatchewan rules. Like, they're just above it all. So, I mean, it's hard.
I'm speechless for the last time in my life. Yes.
First time in your life.
Thank you. Yeah, first and
the
last.
First time, yeah.
So. I want to talk about the transition from your level, pro hockey, down to our level. Now, beer hockey.
The depression, the sadness, yeah. The realization of your doom, your end of life.
Got a great, great story. Able to play 3-on-3, Yabo. And a bunch of us boys are out there. Right before we go out there, Yabo's taping up, you know, doing his thing. And buddy of ours scores. Yabo goes on the ice. He's like, $10. He goes, I'm going to take the puck away from Yabo like the whole game.
This is Scorsese talking?
Scorsese talking.
Scorsese was also a professional athlete. He played for the Steelers.
And a Manitoban.
I didn't know that.
A Winnipegger, just like myself.
Okay.
$10. $10 or whatever it was. He either breaks my stick or his stick. Kind of chuckling. Yeah. We go out there, and Scorsese on my team. We're going, and Yabo's getting a little frustrated.
It's like taking candy from a baby, though. Just
he fresh.
Well, when you're taking penalties, yeah.
Just fresh back from the KHL thing, and he's trying that toe drag they taught him, right?
I probably was.
Stop toe drag.
Galley's not lying. I probably was.
Every move, toe drag.
But I learned to rush the guys.
Super slow.
Thinking I'm going to come back from Russia and be this, like, awesome hands. You guys are going to be amazed. And you're like, I was just probably embarrassed. You're like, oh, my God, look at him. He thinks he's good.
Well, what he forgets is, you know, Scores, he's got a 7-foot stick, right?
Right. He's like
don't
Chara.
Forget to tell,
he's like Chara.
Don't forget to tell. Actually, how the amazing, like, he is an amazing defenseman.
Oh,
like,
he is.
He is, you know.
Oh, he's in a great, yeah.
No
yeah.
doubt, no and, doubt.
He's, obviously, he's probably one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
But anyways, continue your story. But continue your story.
You get the puck off your stick. Of course.
Yeah,
he is.
Of course. I mean, but continue your story.
Yeah,
sorry. Well, so it happens over and over again. Right? Just, you know, Yabo's just, you could see the steam coming from his ears. Like, motherfucker. You know? And so he starts, you know. This is 3-on-3 summer hockey, beer hockey. I mean, beer hockey, right? So Yabo was like, okay, fuck it. I'm going to start throwing my weight around. And he starts throwing the body around a little bit. Everybody's like, this is non-check, dude, you know? And like, he didn't give a shit, right?
Some 80-year-olds playing out there.
Oh, like. Yeah. So he starts throwing his weight around. Next thing you know, Scores is laughing at him. One time he's like, as he's poke-checking, he's laughing at him. And I think that's what sent Yabo over.
So what happened was,
poking the bear.
Just to like clarify a little bit of what happened, I did, you know, I have this competitiveness, you all know, and that's my problem. Where I still haven't actually gone out with you guys and did like a fun hockey tournament. I'm not sure yet if I'll step on the ice and not lose my fucking shit. Uh-huh. Because I've always had this in my mind, this competitive the way the game should be played, you know. You know, and that is a problem. But so what happened was, so yes, Cornsy got it. And actually, I thought in my own mind, he like slashed my stick to be funny, you know, like because he's been taking the puck away from me. And he's laughing, which is awesome. The fucking ref gives me a penalty. And that's what fucking sent me over the. That was it. That was fucking tomahawk my stick on the fucking right on the net. Bam. I'm like giving it to him like it was this ref. I was so mad. It was like, I don't even know who was the older guy. And I'm like, this is a fucking joke. I'm like, you giving me a penalty? And I was just at the fucking end of it. Like, I was ready to fucking just snap. I'm like, I just can't do this. And I just lost it. And so Millsy's the hockey director of the rink, and he's on my team. And he tries to kick me out of the game. You're out of here. You're off the rink. And I said, I'm not fucking leaving. I said,
the ref tries to kick him off.
Yeah, tries to kick me off, like, out of the 3-on-3. He goes, you're gone. He goes, because I lost it on. Fuck you. I said, you're gone. I'm not leaving. I'm standing on the ice. I don't got a fucking stick.
Told the ref that
so
he's gone.
The ref's like, go skates over to Millsy's on the bench. He's on my team. He goes, hey. He goes, this guy won't leave. Millsy goes, that's your fucking problem, buddy. Millsy just fucking sat there. He's like, I don't have to fucking deal with this.
Yeah. Play on.
Yeah. And so he was just standing around. Everything stopped. So I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'm going then. So I fucking left.
It's true. Everybody in recreational, you go in there, smiles and shits and giggles, and it just – we all say we'll never blow a top, and everybody here is fucking snapped, like the stupidest things. Going after you, going, oh my God, this is fucking beer league hockey, but it's competitive.
You know, that's the thing. All of us have played at one level or another where it's all been competitive. I mean, you know, that's the thing, and I think you live with that for the rest of your life, no matter what you do, work or anything. But you know, we talk about stuff you guys done in these tournaments and all the stories over the years. You know, you hear it. I mean, it comes out because. Yeah. Somebody might do something stupid, and that'll just it flips that trigger. It's like, you can't do this. I don't care if it's beer hockey.
You don't want to get wound up. Your pride gets away. Like, one guy, you have a moron on the other team that takes advantage of somebody, and all of a sudden the old instincts kick in your gear and say, fuck you, you're not taking advantage of us.
There's a rational side that we all have, but that competitive, like you said, is always ingrained there somewhere, where if you push the buttons just enough.
What did he do the last tournament? Eddie, the fucking Dr. Hook.
Did Eddie, you try and...
I think he tried to McCrack in someone's eye hole with a tip of his stick,
see?
If I'm not mistaken.
I believe it.
Me? No, I've never done it. Well.
Well, maybe a little bit.
No, it was Jackson Hole, but that's a whole different...
No, I tried to carve his call last summer.
I have no idea.
I don't remember that, though.
Who was slashing our goalie?
Oh.
Well, that was up in...
That's different.
That was at the Gong Show.
McCall. That's
yeah, McCall. Yeah,
yeah. It's not like I was trying to carve his eyes out. I just told him not to touch our goalie again.
Yeah.
Well, I expressed.
No, that's after he bitch slapped Eddie around the ice for a while.
Yeah. Well, he's bitch slapping.
Oh, jeez.
But then again, you know, going back to when Eddie played, would do a lot of fighting, you know, defensive, but a tough guy at the same time. So it comes out because you have that in you. I think the guys that really do that job through their career, it's in you no matter what. I mean, I'll still stick up for us, whether we go to the bar or, you know, Sparky, you start a fight in the golf course tomorrow. I mean, I'll be there to back you up. I mean, it's just
good thing
is.
There's no videos in Russia of anything like that. That would,
yeah, you know, that
bar fights.
Yeah, you know, that'd be, how crazy would that be if you just knocked out a couple guys in the middle of the street and they had it on camera? It that
could,
would suck.
Who would have thought?
Could you imagine what would happen if there like was a fight at the golf course? since you brought that up, do we dare share that story?
Yeah, you know we should. I forgot about that till now. This was amazing.
Let's use aliases, please, and different golf course. Just
I'm
going to
use. Yeah.
No.
I'll
us,
use what well, my golf partner.
Who are you going to be? Who's your alias?
Superman.
You're Superman. Yeah.
No, Little Piglet was with me in the cart, Jeremy Milmuck.
Good alias.
I'm gonna.
It rhymes with Jeremy Milmuck. So anyways,
his name rhymes with Jeremy Milmuck. But anyways, so he was my partner. We had two other guys with us. Out the golf course, and it was you golf half nine holes when the sun's going down. You go in, you keep partying. You go out when it's pitch dark. They have, you know, all the lights in the course. We've all done the night game, the glow balls, and we were in the golf course and. There was one guy, we joke around this other group of guys, and I just thought it was a fun thing. And one guy, I was, you know, giving him shit about something, and we were taking off in the cart, and he was, like, chasing us, like, he was kind of mad. But kind of, I thought I was joking. And he grabbed, I still remember, Millsy's towel off his bag. He could reach the, you know, right at the bag, and he ripped it off. And we're just laughing, like, who gives a fuck, you know. So we go out, play these nine holes in the dark. We went to the ninth hole, and we were done. Our other partners took off, like, we're going to go do this par three again. Well, all right, you know, so we go back to the clubhouse. And the only group that finished ahead of us was this group that we were joking around about with. And, to be honest, I never really started it. We were sitting in the golf cart, and we had, vodka we were drinking or whatever. We're going to finish and then go up there. And I seen this guy, and he had Millsy's towel around his neck. And I said, hey, throw that back in my buddy's bag before you forget. You know, and somebody had said something. And I was ignorant. I forget what they had said, but I grabbed the golf ball, and I'm fucking all pissed up, and I just fucking whipped this golf ball up there, you know? They're out sitting on the deck. Somebody goes, somebody said something, and then I said, who the fuck do you think you are? And they're like, who the fuck do you think you are? And so I was like, oh, boy. So I get out of the cart, and I walked up the fucking stairs, and I've been in the middle of, like, my MMA training.
You can feel, like, their assholes puckering as he's walking up each step, too, can't you?
So I walk up the stairs, and I was like, I'll fucking show you who I am if you want. You know, I'm standing there. They got the little group of five at the table, and somebody's like, I don't even know what the guy's name was. He's like, get him, Ronnie. You know, and these two Rogers behind him. And this guy gets up out of his fucking chair and tries to come to me. And I'm thinking, I'm going to knee this fucking guy in the head. And he kind of came at me too fast, so I couldn't knee him, like, in time. But I just fucking, I hit him a couple of times, and he just, like, dropped, like, hard. I probably thought I killed him. But then as soon as that happened, everybody in their table got up, you know. So I was like, oh, fuck. So I got prepared, but thank God, you know, Millsy was, he seen what happened. He come right up the stairs after me, you know, to help me out. And then we just fucking beat the fuck out of a lot of guys. I still remember.
Did you front kick sternum a guy where he?
I did.
Yeah.
I did the one guy, but I had his buddy in the headlock, kind of in a guillotine choke like you'd see in MMA. And because his one buddy, I had him against the wall of the clubhouse, and I was elbowing his head, and it was against the wall. Because there was a guy kind of on my side, and I had hit him, and I was pushing him up against. I was just elbowing him in the head, and I was like, you know, just trying to just hurt people. I was drunk, and I was mad.
Yeah.
And so the one guy kind of ran at me a little bit, and I got him in the guillotine. I was choking him. And by this time, people in the clubhouse come out, knew who I was and us, and kind of, you know, we're a little bit of buddies with him. And I was just choking this guy. And he was just, like, almost limped right out, if I can remember. They're like, fucking let him go. Yeah, well, you're going to kill him. And they were trying to pull my arms, and I was just holding them. And I'm like, fuck this guy. You know, like, fuck this guy. He's going to get it. So finally, they break everything up, and we're standing there. And I remember the first guy from the start, he was just fucking leaking. His girlfriend, whoever was there, and she was, like, holding his face, like, with towels or a shirt. He was just fucking leaking. And he was still fucking yapping at us. You know, we're just like, are you fucking serious, you know? And so he'd said something to Millsy, and I was a little ways from Millsy. And this guy was like, I even forget what he said. It was something kind of funny, but, you know, stupid. And Millsy's like, well, fucking come over here again. He goes, I'll knock you out for the second time tonight. And the guy fucking pushed his girl out of the way, went over there. he got like close to Millsy and just one left. Millsy just wham, and this fucking guy was just out again. I was just like, this poor fucking guy does not know when to quit, you know. So we got out of there. We just left. We were like, let's get out of here, you know.
I jump in for a second? Yeah, because I actually heard this before you ever told me about this story from somebody that worked at this golf course, right? And he's like, yeah, you know, I got Yobbs and Millsy, and they're out there, and there's it's a tournament, and the whole patio was all filled up.
A fundraiser.
Fundraiser, everything's good. I go, look, and everything's peaceful. Everybody's having a good time, you know. Some guys are getting a little rowdy and everything else, and I see Yobbs and coming up. I had to go do something. All of a sudden, I come back out. The whole place is trashed. Like, everything's flipped over. The only thing I remember is this planter just swaying back and forth. People are laid out. And you had no idea what happened. It looked like a freaking tornado went through this place. And like, some big guy sitting there leaning over, holding his sternum because he took this front kick. He's like, he still couldn't breathe.
I can't breathe.
I was really into the kicking at the time because I did a lot for my MMA. I was doing a lot of the Muay Thai training. I just love that story. I did that for years. I love that. And I had a guy, kind of guy that was choking, but it was previous to when I choked the guy out. And this guy was kind of coming at me, and I see him coming at me, and all I could think was just kick. And I was actually going to hit him in the face. I was, well, in my mind I was, but I got him right in the sternum and just, whoa, you know how that is if you get hit there.
Oh,
you know, I've done it on the ice.
It ruins your life.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and,
you know.
And, like, let's get this straight for the listeners. It's like, these weren't small guys. Apparently this guy was a bouncer downtown, and, you know,
Ronnie.
So when they said, go get him, Ronnie.
Yeah. Yeah,
Ronnie was their heavyweight. He took a front kick to the chest.
I'll never forget it, though, because I went up there, and I was like,
oh
fucking
shit.
I remember standing there. Not wondering.
This isn't the local bar patron. Who is this fucking guy?
I'll never forget walking up the stairs, though, and I'm like, you know, who do you think you are? I was down below, so I walked up the stairs, and I'll fucking show you who I am, you know? And I was standing there just thinking, la, 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 you know, something, everything. Just whatever the name was, but get him, Ronnie. And, like, this fucking guy, all I remember is, like, those chairs in the golf, all you hear is, like, when the chair slides away and this guy got up by the table. And I was like, oh, fuck, here we go.
That's my dude.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, they're really going to do it. You know, thank God Millsy come up, because I'm sure it would have had, you know, trouble if all five of them were on me. But
I think you've been okay.
You know, but old fat back, right. You know, I'll give it to old fat back. I bug him a lot, but the guy could throw some lefts. The guy could throw some lefts.
Well, boys. Our time has arrived, and Yabba, want to thank you so much for being a guest today, and I'm going to count on you for coming back. I hope you're in town, and you're a regular, and you're a great storyteller.
I'm definitely here. I got, you know, just this little get-together has brought up so many other little stories I'd like to tell along the way.
Oh, yeah.
And actually bring a couple other guys in on some of these stories if I can get them here or get them to call in, because, wow, there could be some great stuff come out of this.
And my advice to the listening audience is, if you ever see Yabo anywhere in public, do me a favor, don't call him out. He'll make you pay.
Yeah, except the golf ball to the head. Just, I'll take it, thank you. Yes. I'm going to throw it back to you.
You know, okay. Someday we should bring up that one story, Troy Edwards almost killing the guy in Canada Day, the golf course, with the golf ball. I'm just saying, later on, that's some suspense for later on.
Appreciate he's that, like buddy. Canadian Sniper, playing with golf balls. Nice, Yabo.
So, Joe, Scotty, I learned one very important lesson, having heard all of that and knowing that Yabo very well. I treat him with great respect and always say, sir.
Well put. So we hope you guys enjoy these stories from our good friend, Jeremy Yablonsky. We got lots of links on our website, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, etc. Share, share, share. And speaking of sharing, we can't say enough. We want your fucking stories. And we only want the best of the best. Our listeners deserve that.
And they should be true.
Don't make up stories.
Now, we understand that you probably have a story in your back pocket from 10, 20 years ago, and you've told it 1,000 times. And each time you tell it, it might get 1 or 2% better. And now after a decade or two of telling it, now it's, how do we say it, loosely based on a true story. That is fine.
Great. Yeah, don't let facts get in the way
okay.
of a good story.
Yes, thank you.
Right. Embellishment is good.
Yeah, we like to be genuine. So if you have an epic tale that your friends love hearing every time beer comes out in the locker room, don't be a selfish asshole. Share that shit with the world. We don't want that stuff to be forgotten. You have a great story. Let's immortalize it forever on our website and our podcast.
That's a scary thought. So that means Dave's story is going to be immortalized? That's scary.
You can email us a brief description of your story from our website, or better yet, hit the speak pipe app link on our website. It's a quick free app download, and you can just record, I think, up to 3 to 5 minutes of your story. Once you hit complete, it gets automatically emailed to us, and then we can listen to it. If we like what we hear or read, we'll get you on as guests on our show. So you're thinking, this surely is going to be immediate grounds for divorce if I tell the story in the line. Like we said before, no worries. We'll use an alias, and your 401k will be safe. And if we use your story in your show, we'll send you to one of our great Tales from the Road t-shirts. You can listen to all this on our podcast on iTunes, Podbean, YouTube, etc., with links on our website, talesfromtheroadpodcast.com. We created a most kick-ass unique listening experience you can imagine. We would love you to subscribe as a Tales from the Road regular because you love this crazy shit. You can get free stuff from us, sneak peeks on upcoming big interviews with big-name guests, and lots of different reasons. So please subscribe and share and share and share. And to be honest, we would love to do nothing but this for a living and bring the show to you more often. So if you like what you hear, you can support us in a number of win-win ways. You can check out our awesome merch store. We got great t-shirts and gifts for the entire family that will leave nobody disappointed on Christmas morning.
No.
Right?
No.
We also have an Amazon.com link where you can connect to Amazon.com and buy your whatever sex toys and Sparky's situation or whatever.
Your waffle iron.
A waffle iron. You can buy them at the same time. And you pay the same price as you always would, but Tales from the Road podcast gets a couple of percents of your sale, and it's a little thank you stroke from Amazon.com, and it's easy, and it's no additional cost to you.
Beautiful.
So that's about it. If you want to know more about us, just go to the website, check us out, and definitely join us next time from Tales from the Road.
Tales from the Road.